Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am indeed very grateful to be with you on this January 27th day, 2019. We're going to be looking at what is the truth. The truth. I like that, that whole deal. What is the truth? And we'll take a hopefully a very good look at it. I got three questions the last week or two that I think are just sensational, and I want to thank my my listeners for doing this. I want to remind you, we have changed our website at aspire.org to be more accommodating to those of you who might be sponsors, would-be sponsors, or people just in general coming and want to listen to the radio programs and the TV programs and all of the things that we offer on Aspire. And there is a ton of stuff, our blogs, our commentaries, podcasts, videocasts. Oh my goodness, the Breath Journal, we've made it very convenient for you just to go there, click a button, and go for it. So I hope you take a gander at that. And if you're a sponsor, everything you needed to know and have is at your fingertips now, making it much easier for you to listen to your podcast, videocast, commentaries. And if you get the discourses, your message of the month, it's all really, really very simple and easy. So I hope you avail yourself of it. And I also hope you will consider being a sponsor, because if you're not, this is how our radio program is paid for, is through sponsorship, through people who do quarterly or monthly donations. And it is a very important part of this work to be able to pay the bills. So I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor if you're not already. And you can avail yourself of everything that the sponsors get. You will have not only the message of the month at your fingertips, but you will also have the podcast, videocast, commentaries, and access to all of my TV discourses, 120 of them. And they're all there for you on all of the various subjects I did, such as the sound of one hand clapping, the Tao. Nobody likes you anyway, one of my more famous ones. Passing through the fires, what it means to really have an authentic spiritual practice and what it means to go through one, things like that. They're all there for you, my dear ones. They're all there for you if you become a sponsor, and I hope that you do and help us sustain our radio program. Very important. And my hospice work and all the things I do to serve is there because of sponsorship, because people unite with me and help me. Carol from, where is this? Utah. Utah's a long ways away from here. Greg, what is more powerful, truth or fact? Well, if a fact can lead to the truth, then they're equal, wouldn't you say? But if I listen just to my facts of life mind, the Greg mind that's based in his pedestrian mentality of right, wrong, good, bad, judgmental bias, all of that, then the facts don't really, they don't really mean much. They don't, they change quickly. Facts are always changeable. They always move from one thing to another very quickly. I'm always interested, Carol, in not black over white or white over black in my thinking. What I'm interested in is how does a fact lead me to the truth? And certain facts lead to the truth. Certain facts about, judgment, bias, fear, anger, things like that. There are facts of life. You don't walk out in the middle of the freeway and think that God will save you, because there's a good chance God won't, whatever that is. There are facts of life, things that we don't like to do but are necessary. There are medical procedures that none of us like. It's a fact. They're not comfortable. They're to say the least, not very graceful. But they lead basically to the fact of your health, and then you can go from there and look at it from that point of view. Facts are just circumstances and conditions that are quickly changing. They are moving from this to that, from that to this. But the truth, that's something kind of different. And the truth is something that very few people not only recognize, but can agree on. So I, you know, this is a very debatable process, I think, for most people. What is truth to a person? What constitutes truth to a person is not always the same thing as what constitutes truth to another person. And this can go back and forth and on and on. But this isn't really the message or the meaning of our life. The truth that you might be looking for is not contained in the mind, not contained in my mental acuity. The truth that people are looking for is unspoken and can't be uttered through not only words, but can't be uttered through thought itself. Thought is one thing, truth is another. I've often found that facts bring me to a certain truth, and then the facts become irrelevant to the truth. So now you start to understand that facts are only a pathway. They can be a bridge, but they turn into a barrier when the facts are understood or thought of or realized in ways that are truth. You can't look at a fact and make it a truth, because if you do, then you've missed the whole thing. Then you miss what it is that we're talking about here. You miss your entire life. And I think a lot of people do that. They think in terms of the facts of life as being the truth of life. Well, the fact is you're going to be born, hence we're here. The fact is you're going to die. And the truth of the matter is we never die. We live in a state of immortal, the immortal love, the immortal kindness, the immortal fragrance of love. We live in that. But the fact is that it looks like we die. Now, if you only live by the facts of your life, you will think, well, you're born, you die, lights out, it's over. The assumption that it is over is kind of interesting. And the people would say, well, the assumption that you never die is the same thing. And I would agree with that. So what separates fact from fiction, fact from a fiction that would bring us to the truth? What is it? And I'll tell you what it is. This isn't deep, this isn't difficult, but it's rare. Direct experience. When you have direct experience, when you've had something happen within you that gives you your direct experience about any given thing. In meditation, you're sitting wanting nothing with all of your heart. Wanting nothing with all of your heart. What happens in that? What could happen in that? Nothing but beautiful things. And the fact that you're sitting there is one thing. The truth of what comes out of that fact of sitting there is quite another. So to me, Carol, they work together, fact and truth. And many facts bring me to the truth. How I interpret the facts is the issue. If I interpret it out of my Greg Penn mental acuity based in his primitive DNA and his terrible genetics, then what I have here is really nothing meaningful at all. Nothing meaningful. But when I get beyond Greg's pedestrian mentality and I can sit and observe and watch what's actually happening beyond the confines of his limited thinking, that is when something very beautiful starts to happen. And the truth unfolds and becomes very unique. A sense of true uniqueness is born. And then the truth, well, it sets me free, and I'm grateful for the facts that brought me there. Just very grateful. I hope that helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Facts and truth, you really have to come to a place inside where you have the basic comprehension of a fact, but yet have a sense of realization, spiritual realization, to understand the meaning of that fact and how it leads you to the next thing and the next thing. John from Ohio says, Greg, I enjoy your radio programs. Thank you. What is the ultimate truth in your opinion? My opinion. I struggle with Greg's opinions. I do, and I don't normally like to give them. I don't think they're relevant to you, and I don't think they help you. And I'm only interested in what could help you, not old Greg's opinions. Over the years, Greg has had all sorts of opinions about what the ultimate truth is. He's had all sorts of them. And when he sat down and he was going to give a discourse or a Sunday discourse, something like that, he would sit down and try to figure out, you know, what it was that was the ultimate truth and build a discourse around it and think he was helping. And to a degree, he did. But after a while, you begin to understand that anything that can be thought or taught or spoken becomes untrue. It becomes merely a ideal, a belief, some kind of a genetic pretense that has nothing at all to do with the truth, the ultimate truth. Now, you can say ultimate truths. You know, you think you have one. Maybe I think I have one. Maybe the lady over here thinks she has one. We could all say we understand or know the ultimate truth. Really? Really? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, whose truth is ultimate? And whose truth is the best? So you could go on and on and on and on with this. Buddha did not give an ultimate truth, and yet he spoke nothing but the ultimate truths. Lhasa gave the ultimate truth, but he said it in 1,000 different ways. Jesus, the same thing. Some of the most beautiful things ever uttered in the world are the Beatitudes. And you could say those are the stepping stones. Those are the direct path. That's the ultimate freeway to understanding the ultimate truth. Jesus actually in the Beatitudes gives us the way, the means, and the method. It's on the website at aspire.org. I did the Beatitudes. They're very concise and intense, but there they are. How many people recognize them as the ultimate truth? Not many, if any. How many realize what the Buddha's teachings were in the Eightfold Path, and were they the ultimate teachings? Were they the ultimate truth? No, people don't listen. They really don't. They read things and go, it's like, you know, listening to a discourse. Even this radio program is like when you aren't good with names and people introduce you to someone or a few people and you forget their names immediately because they're not relevant to anything a person needs or wants. And you can't remember the name of somebody who isn't relevant to some need or want that you may have. Now, if those people were people who were going to give you millions of dollars, you would remember their names very well, very quickly, very easily. But that is not the case here. So what is the ultimate truth? What is my ultimate truth that you think my opinion would make any difference within you? Really? Do you think that? Do you think my opinion about what the ultimate truth is going to really help you? If I gave it to you, would you compare it to your own or compare it to somebody else's that you like or admire or don't like and don't respect? What's your criteria? What are you looking for? Something to back up maybe your biases about what you think life is all about? Everybody has some opinion about what life is about and the meaning of our life. So this question in itself is the ultimate truth. What is the ultimate truth? That is the ultimate truth. What is it? And you'll go and sift through all sorts of thoughts and ideals and beliefs and prejudices and biases and all sorts of things that mean something maybe to you. And your ultimate truth might be something that is sustainable in you for a while. And then it will change. It will melt away. It will leave you. And another one will come up. And another one. And another one. Until you see that this is nothing but a process of going from one idea to another, from one belief to another belief, from one pretense to another pretense, and it all becomes very convoluted in this way. And before you know it, everything that is of the truth is nothing but a bunch of words. Words and philosophies and ideals and pretexts and contexts, and before you know it, what have you got? You just got words and thoughts. And then you go back and move into your pedestrian mentality in life and try to interpret everything from that point of view and live from that point of view. And what good did the ultimate truth give you? How often would you use it? Probably not at all. Because the only truth or ultimate truth in people's lives in general, John, is what they need and want. That's it. Just what they need and just what they want. They don't go any further with it. They don't go any deeper with it. The ultimate truth is, if you're hungry, you're looking for a restaurant or something to eat. If you feel like you are in sorrow and you want a good laugh, the ultimate truth is any comedian or anything before you that could lighten your mental and emotional load. That's it. And that's usually the ultimate truth for people, what lightens their load. And that's as far as most of us go. And what would you do if you were given the ultimate truth? I will give it to you. I'm not going to, you know, duck this question. It is not original. It is not anything new. It isn't going to shake the earth any more than when Jesus gave the ultimate truth. Buddha gave the ultimate truth. Lao Tzu gave the ultimate truth. It's just this simple. It is all about love. And when Jesus said, God is love, he said it all. When Buddha talked about, see how you love and what keeps you from your journey, he said it all. It's in one word, love. And for the most part, we're not much interested in love. We're interested in human love, and we're only interested in being loved. It's very, very painful. And it's why the world is the way the world is. I don't know if that helps you, my dear John, but dear John, forgive me. I hope it does. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. I was kind of long-winded on that one. You're going to have to forgive me. The last question from Kathy. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, I listen to you. I watch you on TV. Very impressive. But what I want to know is, how do you know that you know? Kathy, it isn't a matter of knowing. I share my experience with you. It's always up for interpretation with people. You know what I mean? You hear me speak here on the radio. You watch me on TV. You watch the things I offer. You maybe, if you've ever read a commentary, they're very, very powerful. They're about my experience in what is going on in my life and the things I've seen in my 46 years of being a teacher. Just watching, observing, just kind of seeing what's going on. I don't teach what I know. I really don't. And I don't even like that idea of knowing. Because that puts a finality on things. And once you put a finality on anything, you've lost the meaning. So I don't talk about what I know. I talk about, as I do in the commentaries, what I've experienced. In the discourses, I talk about what I've experienced, what is going on. And sometimes those experiences, they change. They go from one thing to another thing to another thing. It's an evolution, not a convolution. And I avoid the convolution by coming to a place where everything is totally it, done, finalized, concluded. I am very, very open-ended, as it were. I let things be as they are, the way they are. I can only describe to you my direct experiences. That's all I can do. I can't do any more than that. So when you're looking at the meaning of something I'm saying, and you want to say, well, how do you know that's true? Well, how do you know you're wet? You know, you get in a swimming pool, how do you know you're wet? You get into the water, and you don't feel wet anymore. You just feel the water. Wet and water are two different things. You go underwater, do you feel wet? No. You're immersed. You're immersed in the water, and wet is no longer a factor because there isn't dry and wet. So what I try to do is immerse myself into consciousness, into the way of the heart. And I allow that to be the way of my life. And I speak from it. Now, sometimes the temperature in the water is comfortable and sometimes it's not. And that's the variance I like to talk about from here to there. The reason I'm in hot water is because of this. And the reason I'm in cold water is this. Or the reason I'm in tepid water is this. And I talk about the various states of consciousness that we go into and what they're really all about. And that's how I work it. But I never come to the ultimate conclusion. So knowing to me is not something that is relevant to my practice, my life, or what I'm trying to teach here and give you. The thing that is most important is not what is relevant to Greg, but what it feels like to be immersed in the love that lives within us all. That's the most important. I hope that helps you, and may it serve you well. And I'm out of here. Please forgive me. Namaste. I hope you enjoyed the series. Come to the website at aspire.org. Take a look at our new website, as it were, and see if it suits you and helps you in some way or another. There's so much there. You could spend a long time there watching if you're interested, if you can get beyond the old pedestrian mentality. We all got them. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.